Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. Together with the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. I've got an email here from, this one came in through our website, by the way. An email from Anonymous.
The subject is University of Utah Law School, my average LSAT scores. In the admissions FAQ for the University of Utah Law School, it says this: how are multiple LSAT scores treated? In situations where a candidate has multiple LSAT scores, the SJ College of Law will presumptively use the highest score.
There you go.
Okay. The reviewer, however, may use the average score if information in the file indicates that the average score is the most appropriate measure of the candidate's skills. And then the question, I think, from our anonymous correspondent is, what information in the file do you think they're talking about? Okay. Nothing. this is just, again, their sort of way to make the application process opaque. So when you get a rejected or accepted or your financial aid offer is not great, you have no clue why the fuck they came to the decision they came to.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
It's a non-zero chance that the legal department had something to do with putting that line in there on the FAQ.
Yep.
You know, because if you say so explicitly, we only care about your highest LSAT, then, you know, somebody whose average is better relatively to other people's average, somebody who could only take it once for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They now have some half-assed action or at least complaint against the school to say, well, it's unfair that you guys use the highest LSAT because for some people, you know, that gives you're giving an advantage to people who take it multiple times, fucking whatever. And so then they just throw in there, well, the lawyers are like, well, how about we say presumptively we use the highest score, but the reviewer may use the average score if information in the file indicates that the average score is the most appropriate measure of the candidate's skills.
Yeah. And there's no way to like assess that or judge that.
And there's
do that for everything because you get thousands of applicants every year. You know, a certain percentage of those people are a little unhinged and they're going to sue for whatever reason they want to sue. And this is just protection.
Yeah. And it's like for the same reason that there tend to be kind of more soft must be trues or supported questions these days than like straight hard must be trues.
Sure.
You know, I could just see the legal department going in there and going, hey, you know, instead of saying if the above is true, which one of the following must be true? How about if we said which one of the following is most strongly supported by the information above?
Yep. The correct answer is still the same, but now much, much harder to argue against.
Yeah, because your answer doesn't have to be 100% proven. I mean, you literally don't change anything about the question or the answer choices. But now you've got legal defensibility that it's like if someone comes up with a crazy reason why that doesn't have to be true, you go, well, but it's the most strongly supported by the facts.
Yep.
And it doesn't change the meaning of anything.
Yeah.
There's no way the U is averaging law schools or averaging LSATs, right?
Yeah. I don't think so. It doesn't make sense. That's the thing. You're making a decision on the basis of how you're going to make the best class, a student who's going to do well and is going to help your ranking. And what's the best way to do that? Look at their high score.
Yeah. They're ranked 27th in the country, by the way. Their range between their 25th percentile and their 75th percentile is only 6 points. It's It's 159. 25th percentile and 165 75th percentile. That doesn't prove it to me that they're not only caring about the highest LSAT, but I think that if they were averaging, then they would tend to have a wider range between their 25th and their 75th percentile high LSAT, right?
Yeah.
This seems like they're gaming the high LSAT stat, which most other law schools do. And especially law schools that are similarly ranked to the U.
Yeah.
Because 37th in the country, you know, you got Davis and Fordham and UC Irvine and Boston College all there tied with you. and everybody wants to get to 36 and you don't want to get bumped to 38. So you have to continue to play that rankings game. Cop out, by the way, for US News to have these big ties in there. I mean, there's so many schools tied at 30. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 schools tied at 30th. And then there's 2 schools tied at 35th. Yeah. And then there's another 7 at 37, 6 at 37. Yeah. Whatever. You know, these schools are fighting it out for high LSAT points because of the rankings. And that's it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm on the University of Utah's website right now. I was just clicking through here, looking at this FAQ. And cool. One of the questions is, what undergraduate course of study is best? I was like, well, they have an opinion about this. And they don't, but I want to read what they say after it. They say, there is no pre-law curriculum, no magic formula. It is, however, vital that law students have a mastery of the English language. We look closely at the candidate's transcript. Candidates should undertake an undergraduate program that develops their ability to speak and write about concepts clearly, their capacity to read complex material with precise understanding and attention to detail, and the power to reason, weigh facts, and solve problems. Sounds like the LSAT, honestly. Those are the things that the LSAT tests and reveals.
Yeah.
It's also the things that the LSAT develops if you put in the hard work to improve your score. Anyways, just something we already think, I think, but wanted to share that.
Do you know of a better test of the English language?
I don't.
Even if US News doesn't exist anymore, is the English language still going to be important to law schools?
That's my bet.
Yeah, I don't think anything is really going to change here. I would be, you know, like saying you're no longer required to use the LSAT is not the same thing as saying you can't use the LSAT. You are required not to use the LSAT. And since schools are so clearly interested in your ability to read and write and reason in the English language, I don't think it's the ABA requirement that was ever making schools interested in the LSAT in the first place.
Yep.
Thank you, Anonymous, for writing in. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.